No, no. Welcome to the Everyday Sniper. You got Frank from Sniper's Hood. My voice doesn't do that anymore. But anyway, happy Tuesday. It's Oak Island Day. We're going back to Oak Island. It's almost over for the season. I think there's only like an episode or something left. But god dang, if they're not finding stuff over, I mean, it's looking more and more like the whole Oak Island thing is a Templar operation. And a Templar operation that worked with the Vikings. How cool is that? I guess apparently some Vikings made it to the Crusades. You know, they were cruising around Europe and cutting through the rivers and everything. And they found themselves in, you know, the Middle East. And they ended up fighting alongside some Templars and shit. And then they ended up making their way back across Europe through the Mediterranean. They go up to Scotland. And then they start doing that sort of northern rim of the Atlantic Ocean, and they made their way to Oak Island. And that's why, I guess in Iceland, they found Roman coins, and in Oak Island, they found Roman coins. So that's where the whole Rome coins, this, that, and the other thing, and some of the stuff that goes back really far comes from the Vikings, maybe. So Oak Island's moving along. That's pretty cool. And so it's always a good thing. Lots of stuff happening. I don't even know where to begin. Chris and I did the classes, and we talked about the class. I mean, his wind is really... I got to talk to James and them after they've gone to Hat Creek and see if they were able to put any of that wind into practice. So we had the guys that went to Hat Creek that came out, and Chris gave them the Craft Quick wind. I can't say wind. I didn't have any coffee yet. I'm just drinking some now. But anyway, Craft Quick Win class. So I want to see how that worked out for them putting it in practice. But yesterday, a couple things are going on. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. One, I'll go a couple update things. One, the Vectronic binos. Everybody's asking me about the binos. Any binos from the Vectronic binos? No, they haven't shipped yet. I did get the tripod, and I spoke to Michael Hanel over at Really Right Stuff because there is a tripod for it. The Really Right Stuff makes the mount for it, and the mount is built in. Very cool. I got to see it replacing the cinch and things like that for this model. If you're using somebody else's brand of bino, you want the cinch or something. But yeah, so I haven't gotten an update on delivery of the binos. So everybody keeps asking me about the binos, and I have not had them in my hand. As soon as I have them in my hand, I will let you know. I will do a thing. Also, we're just in the front end. I'm getting ready to put together a group buy on Sniper's Hide with GDI, Marco Gonzalez over there. Marco's doing a run of the P-ROMs. The P-ROMs go back the original Rifles Only days. Those are the QD quick release, probably the best QD quick release mounts you can get. I know Mark and I use them as backup scopes. So I use GDI P-ROMs for the backup scopes. If you ever been to class and we pulled the scope out of the bag, it was probably in a P-ROM. And we've been using that since the Rifles Only days and beyond. Well, he's going to do another run of those. We're getting some discounts. We're getting some t-shirts, and we're getting some other things. So if you're a QD fan and you want a really good mount, and we're going to knock about $100 off of it. Maybe not that much, but close. And so we're going to have those on Sniper's Hide. So about 3 weeks, we'll be announcing that, and it'll be shipping ready. Speaking of mounts, Glenn Seekins. I've spoke about this before. I went up and saw Glenn. Glenn has his new one-piece mounts, diving boards with that wedge lock on it. All right? I mean, the wedge lock is amazing. Well, Glenn just wrote me yesterday. He just had a run of 1.54s, so there's the 1.1s, so really low if you want a set of 1.1s, 1.2s right in there. And now he has the 1.54s, so the higher mounts, Schmitt and Benders and things like that, and the 34 millimeters. So, yeah, a lot of mounts coming out right now. Mounts are popping back around. And Glenn Seekins' new ones, like I said, really nice. Every feature you can ask for. And the wedge system is just so unique. And then Mark Owen GDI coming out with his QDs just work. I mean, they're probably some of the better QDs on the market and super simple too. They're not overly complicated. Like, you know how you got to adjust a QD for the rails and all that, and it's push the mount through, like push the cross bolt through and then adjust the sort of the tension. Well, Marco's, you just kind of clamp shut, and then there's a slotted screw on the other side that you just give it like a quarter turn and it locks it down, and you could just leave it or unlock it, but it's a great return to zero system. So mounts are coming, man. Mounts. Well, that was weird. That was an off-center kind of shot. Off-center. But anyway, mounts are coming, and that's where we're going. I'm going into a meeting today with the Hyde. The Hyde updates will be coming this month. There's going to be a huge blowout, change, update, however you want to look at it. Hyde TV is going to get bigger. We're going to be moving to that system as well. There'll be some options instead of PayPal, because a lot of people have said, hey, I don't want to use PayPal. I can't do this, can't do that, can't do the other thing. They're very nice to us, knock on wood. I don't have complaints, but I understand the concerns. So we will be moving and give you an option that is a non-PayPal option. That's coming. The Hyde TV is coming. The lessons are coming. You got CR2 over there. You got Riflecraft over there. So there's a lot of things going on with the app that will be updated. Like I said, at 1 o'clock today, I have a meeting to give me a mock-up of everything and how the changes are going to be. But it's supposed to put more in the palm of your hands, more of this type of stuff in the palm of your hands. So there's a lot of different things that we can do. One of the things in the video component is that ability to be able to sort of speak an article to you and then just put the supplemental data in the written part. There'll still be articles. Like, I just put a fantastic article up today, Why Gravity Ballistics, from guys from Vortac Barrels came out to Ohio back when I was rebranding it, and I had an article. They wrote an article for themselves and their experience. So that's up right now. Mark Taylor's article's doing really well, the essentials of the fun, or the fundamental essentials. So Mark Taylor's article's doing excellent. Chris has been putting his articles up. He just got off. He went to, this was crazy. So I don't know if you guys realize this with Chris. So we had the guys come down from Alaska. So Friday, Chris drives up to Wyoming to shoot the NRL Hunter match. And he does it as the RO kind of deal. So Friday, he drives up, shoots the NRL Hunter match with Ryan. Saturday comes down, teaches the class. And then Sunday goes up and ROs the class. Chris wins, right? I mean, or the a match rather. He taught the class Saturday, RO'd the event Sunday. So shot an event Sunday, taught a class Friday. Yep, say that again. Shot an event Friday, taught a class Saturday, RO'd on Sunday, won the event. There you go. That's what I was trying to say. So Chris is crazy with that shit. Anyway, that's where we got going on. So take a look at that. The class schedule is up on Sniper's Hyde, and so the quick win stuff is working really well. I mean, it works. When you're on the range using it, it never becomes a question again. It's just like, whoa, this is happening. So we're going to be coming out with the new Hyde updates and the new things. There'll be lessons and videos explaining how the craft quick win is going to work and everything that we're doing. You'll be able to go in and find those and see them. I still haven't taken a drink of my coffee. That was the first sip of the day. I needed that so bad. Thank you, Sue. I mean, it's late, too. I didn't sleep good last night. It was terrible sleep. Anyway, so that was going on. Speaking of the gravity ballistics, the weaponized math, a question came up. We went yesterday. We were out. And I'll talk about this a little bit. So guys wanted the 22 weaponized math numbers. And I know somebody had info on Sniper's Hide. If you look it up, there was some information for 22s. However, I never looked at it that much. I never focused on it because I was doing the center fire. Well, the question came up now that the app is out and the wide gravity ballistics, 22 stuff. So I said, okay, you know, but then where do we zero, right? And that becomes the bigger question now. So, because there's some people with 50-yard zeros. There's some people with 25-yard zero. But now I'm looking at that 36-yard zero. So, Chris and I went out yesterday to the little local green mill here. Took the Voodoo 22s and stuff. And we're going to move this to the air rifles as well. So, we're doing it now with the Voodoos. We're going into air rifle right after that. But I got to go a little bit more with the Voodoo. I got to do a minute extra. But anyway, so I did a 25-yard zero. I looked at my numbers out. I did a 36-yard zero. I looked at my numbers out. Now, my rifle was zeroed at 25 is where I originally was. So when I looked at my Voodoo and everything going on, I had a 25-yard zero on my Voodoo. And the nice thing is, the 36-yard zero was 0.4 down from my 25, so below zero. So that allowed me to work paper both. I was able to shoot it at 25, go below zero, shoot it at 36. Shoot it at 25, shoot it at 36. So I shot them both at 25 and 36. 25 is weird. It does some weird funkiness in stuff for me where, I hit and everything was good, but I didn't like the progression of the numbers. And why weird, that's what I mean, the progression of the numbers. 36 is perfect. 36 goes up, does exactly what we need to. I'm going to be able to develop a gravity ballistics number from a 36-yard zero with your 22. And I will have that data in numbers for you. Right now, I did it every 10 yards. It's looking like for gravity ballistics, I may have to go 20. Just to get the numbers to be workable, I guess is a way of doing of saying it. But it follows almost the same progression. And so if I do a 36-yard zero and we move out to 200 yards, we should be able to do a gravity ballistics sheet numbers and set of data for you for your rimfire 22s. And honestly, the conditions weren't super great. We had some wind that knocked the target back. So I want to relook at it, but I mean, I was hammering, you know, my Voodoo's a laser. I was using Center X. And it was just phenomenal, the results. So, like, when you look at paper, the groups were pretty much touching out. So getting, you know, three-shot average was super easy because it was just stacking groups. And we were in that green mill, which has kind of got a bay to it. And so the wind was moving the target board more than the bullet. That makes sense because it was kind of coming behind us a bit. So I just had to check a few things and then get past 100 because the bay we were in didn't have a good past 100 lane, I guess, for lack of a better word. But yeah, I got Voodoo 22 numbers. But every 10 yards was almost like 3/10. So it was like 3/10, 10 yards, 3/10, 10 yards, 3/10. So that's kind of like 3/10 is a minute, you know, but it was like 10 yards for the 22. So 3/10 is 0.108. It was 10 yards with a 22 for that. So that was kind of cool. So that's where I ended up working that. So we're getting gravity ballistics numbers for your 22s and numbers like I know so I can spout them. You know what I mean? So that way that we'll have them. And the beauty is if you haven't looked at gravity ballistics, when you go in for your multiplying, the X factor is adjustable. So we can give you numbers for the X factor and you can change it. So if you wanted to do a track, like as an example, Pala, California, you can have a Pala track, adjust the numbers for Pala, and it'll work. You can have a Mifflin track. Mifflin has that 17 degrees in the angle. You can do a Mifflin track, put in the angles for Mifflin. It'll all work. And by angles, I mean we're just adjusting the X factor numbers. That X factor does all of it. You don't need a separate kind of situation. You know, you don't need an angle cosine, I guess is a better way of putting it. But so yeah, so that's where I'm at with that. That's where the gravity ballistics are. So we're working the 22 problem for everybody. We're getting that data and putting it out. The app is being updated for the craft wind numbers, and you'll have craft wind in it. That's going to be so neat. I haven't seen anything yet, so I'm kind of like, oh boy, what is this going to even look like? And it's funny because I'm doing a mock-up today for the forum, but I'm not getting a mock-up for the new gravity ballistics, but I'm curious because it's been like 2 weeks and I hadn't heard from them. So it's like, what are you guys going to do? But anyway, so we've been doing that. Then the other thing I want to talk about that I was doing last week, I did a video. I hate it. Ah, it was so crazy. I screwed this up. You know, it's like so many irons in the fire with stuff. And I love doing it. Don't get me wrong. This is all on me. And it's just I'm getting old. I'm falling out of my brain doesn't work. Shit falls out of my ear. You know, if I turn my head the wrong way, it's like, oh, shit, what is that on the floor? Oh, that's what I was supposed to remember earlier. Right? It's like, oh, man. But, we're it's like a piece of the class, a piece of this, a piece of the app, a piece of the form, a piece of shooting, a piece of video, a piece of, you know what I mean? So it's all these little pieces that are being put together. But I got the TacOps KMW collaboration rifle, 308 off of the Surgeons. We did the Surgeon build. Mike digs the Surgeons, man. So he originally gave me the test target, and I got to look again, but he used some weird, maybe it was Hornaday, maybe it was Federal, but he used a newer 168 something, like a tipped 168. And so I'm not ever going to shoot that. But that was the test target that he sent with Mike and the TacOps. I'm going to bug him again this week and try to get him on the podcast. All we need him is an hour, man, and he talks more than that on the phone anyway. I mean, anybody who's ever called Mike has never got off the phone more than under 2 hours. So he can give us a fucking hour. Anyway, so I take the KM out. And our weather, I mean, the wind. And we talked about the snow with the other guys. And then the winds come up. And we got spring winds now. So it's just annoying. Well, I go out and I'm like, okay, I'm going to shoot this rifle. I head out early. Get everything set up. I zeroed it with 175s, but then immediately I switched to 185 juggernauts. And they're pricey, you know what I mean? So I didn't want to waste a lot of things. So what I did is I put a board up, brand clean. I'm not cherry picking or chasing groups. So I just dropped down, put the 185s in, shoot a group. Done. So I shot about a half minute. I threw one out. And it wasn't a rock star, you know, TacOps group. It was me. And a little bit of me was back and forth anyway. But I shot the stone cold, no dicking around, one group, end of story. Did that. Start driving out to distance with it. And this rifle is hammering. I mean, this thing on steel is next level. The 185s are performing beautifully. So I'm going out and I'm filming it, right? I'm like video, I'm going to do a quick little video and all this. Well, right before I do all this at home, I'm dicking with a new camera. Well, it's not new, but I'm dicking with a camera because I'm using this smaller, lighter camera and I'm running around a little DSLR type mirrored, but it's video. And I'm playing with it, and I want it to match my main camera. So I was working on both of them to match each other up. So I'm this setting, that setting. How does that look? This setting, that setting. How does that look? These settings, how do these look? So trying to match the two cameras so I don't have to work overly hard to pair them. So if I use both, that they look seamless. So I take the one, and I'm dicking around, trying to get it right. And it's like, oh, man, let me try this, let me try that. And then the other thing I had to do was readjust the mics in the volume with the mics. All the mics are so fucking wildly different. And it's like you're always having to adjust them. So I used one mic for 1 minute and it worked perfect. You plug the other mic in and it doesn't work that way. And it's like, God damn it. So there's always a setting for these mics. So I'm doing that before I head out. Well, in the house, of course, it's dark, and I put on a neutral density for the sun out in Colorado is super bright. I put on a neutral density that I had ordered, and I'm doing this. I'm doing the mics. I like turn my lens to like 2.8, and never paid attention and went out in the range. It was like, I'm fine. I got a neutral density on dirt. And I blew out like all of my footage. It was so awful. I got home, and when I plugged it in, I was like, what? And the problem is, and I need to do this more. I won't go into a box and look. It's so bright out there. My glasses immediately transition. And so I've got my prescriptions and all these things are going on. And you can't see those damn little screens. So instead of either getting in the car or going into the back of the Connex and then checking everything before I start, I'm just like, I'm good. These numbers are solid while never looking at the numbers. And I dicked up that footage so bad. So I ended up, luckily I was able to salvage it. You know what I mean? I was able to go in. I had like a white balance fixer and I was able to fix the white balance and do the exposure. But a lot of the better footage I couldn't fix. And so it was like, that doesn't look right. And there was a soft focus on a few of them because it was picking up in my fucking aroundness fuckness. It was like, oh my God, it drives me so crazy. I had hit the like reticle for focus and knocked it out of the way. So it was like focusing up at like 130 instead of in the middle. So think of your screen, right? That rectangle screen, 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 3 o'clock. My focus reticle is up at 130 somewhere getting nothing because, again, I couldn't see it. My glasses go sun, you know, and then the screens don't work and the whole thing. And I need a damn tent that I can get in a fucking tent and look, but Connexes, you know what I mean? But anyway, I salvaged that video. So there is a video with the TAC Ops. It is not impressive video. It is a terrible, but it shows you what the rifle's doing. And the rifle does shoot. I mean, on steel, this thing just hammered. And the 185s in the whole thing, the dope was nice. I mean, I'm going to shoot this thing as a 308. I've been either 6.5, the Victor 51, or my Valkyrie. So those are the two rifles I've been shooting the most right now. The Victor 51, the 6.5, the Apollo from Joel, or I've been doing the Valkyrie. I'm going to shoot the snot out of this collaboration. I mean, those 185s were just money and just new life in a 308 like nobody's business. So super psyched with those. Really like the results. I'm bummed that I just tanked that footage so bad. I destroyed that footage so bad. But I was able to salvage a little bit. You can kind of get what you need out of it. It's only 5 minutes. I float it pretty well. I mean, the action cams were the best part of it. And even those I had to readjust. I got these DJIs, you know, the drone people, their action cams. Well, their damn pro settings, like, don't stay. I have to go in and, like, pro set it. Otherwise, it's like in GoPro mode. It's like even GoPro stay. Set my GoPro, put it in the flat mode, it's done. I like these DJIs better, and then you can hook mics to them better. There's a lot of stuff you can do with them better. But they default, like every time you charge them and turn them on, it's like they seem like they default to this stupid, you know, easy button mode, which is what I don't want. And then they look too in your face. They don't match anything I'm shooting. Yeah, first world problems, right? But we're trying to get you the content and make it look really good. And like, we got the everything, like, jiving. And then I make dumb mistakes like that. But I got new videos coming. I got the Leopold Mark IV. I got a 6-24 Leopold Mark IV here. I'm going to put that on a Gap production rifle and 6GT. Put those two together and bring you a video for that. Really Right Stuff sent their stuff across for the Vectronics, like I said. So there's a lot of videos that are coming. I just have to turn around and, you know, get this out for when the new Hyde comes. Because part of the thing, when we release Hyde TV, we want to release a bunch of these videos. So that's where these videos are going to come. That's what we're trying to do. But yeah, so when I screw a video up, it's just like, oh, it drives me so nuts that I make a mistake like that. You know what I mean? I need some of my coffee. Sorry, guys. I should hit my buttons when I drink my coffee, so then that way you're not doing that. But I'm definitely going to work to get Rossigno on the podcast. He needs to get out and talk here. It would be probably the greatest podcast in shooting history with Mike on there, especially if he gets wound up. If I can wind him up a little bit, it'll be next level good. But anyway, classes are moving forward. The program is working really good. We're ready to roll. That's going. Targets are good. Everything's looking money. So no drama there. This month we're at Cameo. So slots are opened up for Cameo. If you want to come to Cameo and you want to do some of this quick wind, honestly, if you have any interaction with Cameo at all, this is the class you want to be at. You want to come to this Cameo class because we'll be doing the quick wind. It's all ready. The presentation is set up, so it would be front to back a perfect Cameo class to do it this way. And I really think a combination of the tripod work and everything that we're doing and then the quick wind up there will just really help people. And a lot of people, they had the match there last month, did poorly. To, you know, just cut to the chase. You guys had some issues finding targets, which we're working on. We got methods and models for that. There's even a cheesy little video. I mean, there's like literally a cartoon 1 minute video on how to help you find targets that Chris did that is so kind of goofy and fun. It's like a reticle and you're like looking and you kind of go through, but go look for that little video. I think you guys would enjoy it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff getting added to Hyde TV. We're adding the videos. You could pop in and take a look at them. And we're putting out the content. You know, we're getting it either in my podcast, Chris's podcast, my channel, you know, however. So the content is definitely there if you're looking for it. And then, you know, again, through this and the podcast. But, yeah, we're moving forward as best we can. Trying to get all the information out to the peoples, all the info out to persons and peoples and things like that. But no, I mean, I'm really digging that 308 again. It's just, I think that 185, I mean, you look at it, we went from like that 168 to 175, right? And everybody's 175. Now we're up to 185. We're growing, you know, we're growing that little bit and the 85s are working good. The speeds were nice. The hits were solid. I mean, even just like on the one part of the video, the little bit I managed to salvage, like watch the recoil pulse on the barricade in the beginning. It's in the first 30 seconds, I think. And just watch how nice. Oh, that's what I wanted to bring up. Training scars. So I'm looking at the video. And I'm watching and I'm trying and I'm like obsessing over this video of me shooting this 308 TAC Ops, right? And I'm obsessing over it because I overexposed it and it was bad and I'm trying to work on it. Then my focus was off. So it's like, is that focus passable or not? Is this good? And so I'm really watching these videos and I probably watched everything like 6 or 8 times just because I did the video actually twice. But anyway, what did I notice? One, the first thing I saw, I wasn't loading the bipod properly for a 308. Wonder why I might do that. Shooting Valkyries and tripods and managed recoils and things like that. So when I went prone, I just touched the back of the stock, never loaded on the 308, and immediately saw it. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm not loading the bipod right there. I'm just letting the suppressor, the brakes, the things do all the work. And so, oof, that was one. Then the other is, you probably can tell, I can't breathe. I got something kind of popped and flipped in my nose on my right side. So my sinuses and my right side is cup is blocked. I'm going to have to go in and have them look at it. I can't even put a Q-tip up there. So my right side of my nose is blocked. Something fell in. And I'm hanging my mouth open in the videos, and I'm like, oh, my God, look how awful he looks. I'm, like, squinting my eye. I'm hanging my mouth open. I'm not loading the bipod. I look like I just started shooting today. It was so bad, and all I could equate it to was the Valkyrie in the tripods and doing the managed recoil because I'm not giving 100% of myself behind the rifle with a tripod, right? I'm 75-50%. And so, like, seeing it in the promo and even watching any videos of the 6mm and the Valkyries and that, they don't move, right? They don't move. Pop on that 308, though, you see it. It was like, oh, shit, that bipod just moved. And I moved behind it. So I need to kind of go, and that'll probably be why my group was shitty too, because I was kind of doing, the Valkyrie and that, and not doing, not loading the bipod properly. So after I saw that video, at the same time, don't get me wrong, I'm painting targets and putting the camera down there. I'm turning the cameras on and off and looking at the angles. I'm not doing, and I'm by myself, so it's one of those deals, but not an excuse. But I understand where I'm doing it and why I have to. And this all comes to all of it. It's like I'm getting older. I need my checklist. Do I have a pre-shot and post-shot checklist? I need my checklist where everything needs to go in its place. Otherwise, I drop the ball, right? It's like, where are your checklists? And all the way around this block, I drop balls. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, man, I didn't do that. Oh, I didn't do that. And it's like, I messed that up. I missed the setting on the camera. I missed loading the bipod. And so I start to see these patterns appear. And I need to kind of tighten myself back up. I need to go back to my pre and post shot checklist to make sure I'm doing everything properly. It used to be when we were shooting 308s and the rifles and the things, and I was doing the lesson videos and all that, I had a process. Everything was repeated the same way every single time. I got up behind the rifle the same way. I indexed down the same way. I was doing it as part of the lesson. And in this video, I was basically just wanting to show off the TacOps rifle and completely fell apart. Lessons in that, right? We talk the mental mistakes. We see mental mistakes. Go further till you get a mental mistake. My mental mistakes show up a lot sooner now than later, right? So how to address those mental mistakes, how to address those things that you're doing. And, it's the process. What is your process? And one of the things I did, speaking of, especially after coming from Armageddon Gear. So I go down Armageddon Gear. I got that big tripod case fits my cameras perfect with the tripod in it, right? So I got that from Tom. Then I got two smaller bags that I use as utility bags. I use as the batteries, right? And things like that. I have the hard cases and I don't like carrying the hard cases around. Like I have Pelican cases for cameras. But then you load the car up, and I might as well put the back down and stack in two Pelicans for cameras and then rifles and then ammo and all that. But if I put them in these soft cases and some stuff, I got a lot more room, and I like it better because I'm a lot looser now, but at the same time, it makes mistakes, right? So anyway, I don't even know where I was going with that. But the cameras, right, the settings. It's just how I'm doing that stuff and setting everything and taking it out. I have to go back and re-listen. I have no clue what I just said. I just spaced big time. But anyway, but that's what I was saying. It was after I lost my way. Mental mistakes. I just made one. I just talked myself in a circle and made a mental mistake for the batteries. But no, I set up the cameras so I had everything in a grab-and-go way. So my cameras, this is where I was going. My cameras today are in a way when I grab that bag and I grab that, I know 90% of everything I need is in there. So I grab things in a way, and it's just like going to the match. Like Chris posted in his NRL Hunter post, his article, all the equipment he's using. Is there stuff in there you don't need? Is there stuff in there you do need? I've boiled my kit down to a lot of the stuff I don't need. Or, yeah, gets left home, right? So I have a little Pelican that I keep. It's a small carry-on one, and that has a lot of those little widgets in it. A lot of stuff you might need, little, you know, a plate, a screw, a mount, a card, something small, but you're probably going to need it. So that's in that. But then I have those soft bags with the batteries and the high-level stuff, and that keeps me going where I just grab those, go, set them up, and I'm all set. But then, like I said, those mental mistakes come in because I'm looking at camera angle. I'm looking at what's going to be the next scene. What am I going to do? Then I'm driving down, putting the targets on or putting the cameras on the plates and then driving back and shooting them. I don't want those running 45 minutes before I shoot. I like typically with the TAC ops, I was 4.5 minutes, run down, start the camera, come back, shoot it, run down, get the camera, move it. I was 4.5 minutes for that video to shoot those plates. So I'm not wasting time, right? I'm making those hits and I'm just moving on. So it becomes a case of is everything where you need it? Like, are you bringing too much stuff for your rifle? You know, and now, like, one of the things I was so, like, I don't care. It's like, don't care. It's chronographing. I don't give a shit what my number is. But now with the Garmin, I throw it out there. And it's like, okay, I got that number, and I'm looking at it. Oh, that's a good deviation. Okay, that's cool. And I'll leave it out there for some of the stuff. One, it's visually, it looks good. Two, it's giving me some information, and I'm gleaning a little bit from it. You know, mainly what I'll do is I'll look at a flyer and see if it's helping me diagnose a flyer or something weird. Like, something didn't quite go 100% how I wanted it. So it's like, boom. How's that compared to the rest? Oh, that one's a little weird. Okay, cool. And, you know, so there's just some stuff like that that's going on. We even did it with the 22s. When we were doing the 22, I put that out just to see where that deviation was. And the Center X was so consistent. That was a waste of time because it was, like, not moving hardly anywhere. So it's like, why do I need to chronograph the 22? It's not doing it. So anyway, and I really like I don't know if Chris came up with it or how we did it, but I had poster boards. So we were like, hey, I'm going to go shoot the 22. And kind of, I like this idea. We just drew a line, like draw a line across the top of the page and have like a zero mark. And we were just doing this with a marker. We weren't drawing anything bigger than like a 1/4-inch dot, aim small, miss small with a magic marker. But we drew a line. And then had our, like, you know, 0, 45, 55, 65 with the drop. And it was nice and can put it all on one page. I'm going to draw it out and put it out there because I think it's a nice way of doping the 22s because they're so easy and you do it on one page. You know, it's not like steel. And so I had a nice little way him and I did to dope the 22s, and it worked out really well. And I was like, man, this should be a target. And or at least a model of a target to do this for guys that are shooting 22s. I mean, I don't know how everybody does it if they just go and dope it like a regular rifle. But we marked the yardage that we wanted, and then we moved paper to it, and then had these boards. Each one of us had a board. And then we would say, this was 45, make our shots. This was 55, make our shots. And then I can say, okay, this is a 36-yard zero. This is a 25-yard zero. 36, 25, 36, 25, and I can look at where each one fell on the paper, and then I marked them. And so it was a nice little, you know, go down, mark it up with the marker, and then move to the next line. And it mapped out the 22 really, really well, but just like a piece of poster board, a line across with just each yard line, have a little aiming point, and you're just letting the round drop. I was just letting it drop, and then I went back after, and then I had a steel plate with an inch and a half flopper, and I just moved the little steel plate out with the little inch and a half flopper, and if I hit the inch and a half flopper all the way out, I was happy camper. And I was like, hey, that worked out really, really well, and it did everything I wanted it to. And so I got gravity ballistics numbers being worked on for 22. I doped the 22 over. I got to clean it. It's so gummy right now. I'm like, ugh, it feels like mud. But I got to clean that guy ASAP. And that's where we were. We were working 22s, working the TAC Ops with the 308s, training scars with those 308s. Guys, take your 308s out like once a month and swing them like a heavy bat and see what happens. Crazy what I saw. Anyway, there we are. I got a meeting coming up. I'm going to get ready to go. Hey, I saw you guys are in Norway, Ted Hoger. Good luck, man. Good job over there. That's cool. You guys are starting to hit the world a little bit. The world opens up to events and people are going. Might not be a bad little thing to do, right? Little family vacations and go shoot. But anyway, we're working the problem. Chris is working the problem. I'm working the problem. Sniper's Hide is there for you guys in a resource. Hide TV's coming. I'm going to see the mock-ups today. Gravity Ballistics is coming with Craft Quick Wind. May Cameo class. Sniper's Hide, sign up. The portal's there. You can pop right in and sign right up for the May Cameo class. Come on in. Training announcements. Sniper's Hide training announcements. There you go, man. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for being part of the Everyday Sniper. Appreciate you guys. Cheers.